The puck has dropped. We are in season. This is the Vegas Golden Podcast brought to you by the Credit One Bank Vegas Born Card, the credit card perfect for passionate Vegas Golden Knights fans. Kind of a tongue twister there, but shout out to the Credit One Bank Vegas Born Card. I'm Case Kiefer, joined by Justin Emerson, and I feel like we said this last week, but it's nice to have some actual hockey to talk about, Justin.
Yeah, last week it was previewing actual hockey games. Now we get to talk about actual hockey games that happened in real life. Yeah, we get to do that. We get to talk a little bit more, and yeah, we got a lot to talk about this week.
Oh, yeah, and big non-hockey news. I probably should have led with this. It would have blindsided you, but I have gotten, I think in the last week, 5 or 6 days, I have gotten 2 compliments on the podcast, and only one was from a person with the same last name as me.
Terrific. So, excellent.
So people are loving it. They especially...
Was it your brother who works with us?
One of them, yes, but he told me. I'm letting him slide because he's told me he's listened to every single one.
Oh, yeah, and his favorite, I thought he was just being polite.
His favorite segment of all was the John Merrill, Oklahoma.
Oh, man.
So, and then someone else complimented our Jonathan Marchessault episode, which, to be honest, I don't even really remember. I was trying to think if we said anything, and he didn't really seem to have many specifics. But he's like, oh, yeah, I listened to the Marchessault player episode and really enjoyed it. So John Marchessault and John Merrill.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Better than nothing. And we always structure this the same way, and that is starting with the big topic, which we can get right into. We talked about having actual hockey to talk about, having 2 wins to talk about. The Golden Knights sink the Sharks, home and home to start the season, and Vegas looks pretty flawless in putting down San Jose and both of them.
Yeah, they beat the snot out of them twice. It wasn't just that they beat them. I mean, they controlled play. I mean, it was 5-0 before the Sharks got on the board on Friday. Wednesday's game was a little bit closer to open the season. Even that was a bit of a beatdown. 4-1 there. Yeah, I've talked with a couple of players and I've asked them. I'm like, is this about as good of a start as you could ask for? And they're like, yeah. I mean, and Jonathan Marchessault today said, we've been able to do this and we don't even have Cody Eakin or Alex Tuch or Nate Schmidt. So the fact that they're missing 3 of their key players and still just went in and beat up on the Sharks twice is very, very impressive.
I think the one, I don't even want to say caveats, I don't want to be that strong. We both were high on Vegas. We knew they were going to be really good. So I wouldn't say either of us are shocked that they won both games. But I think the one thing you got to have to be asking is just how good is San Jose. I know I was pretty down on them, and they did not look good at all.
No.
And I took that knowledge and bet against them when they were playing their third game in 4 nights or whatever it was against Anaheim, and Anaheim beat them pretty handily too. That was not a sweat at all.
Made some money on it.
Yeah, so was this all Vegas? Was it some San Jose being kind of bad, or where do you fall on that?
San Jose looked terrible. And Vegas looked very good. I mean, all the underlying numbers are very good for Vegas, and they did what they needed to do twice. But man, San Jose looked bad, and it was just 2 games on. 3, I guess, now, because they also lost Saturday. But an 0-3-0 start for San Jose against 3 divisional teams is not what you want. I mean, they couldn't really do anything. They didn't. They only managed, let's see, what are the numbers they had? You know, their share was 37% of the high danger scoring chances. So Vegas, almost 2/3 of the quality prime scoring chances when the 2 were on the ice. Their power play is a -3. they didn't score and allowed 3 shorthanded goals to Vegas. And pretty much sums up how bad their power play looked. They weren't able to really do anything. And man, it was very surprising just being in San Jose on Friday and just watching them melt down to Vegas. And it is the second game of the season, of course, all those caveats, but for as good as Vegas looked, San Jose's start is just as bad.
Noshik have 2 of those shorthanded goals.
He had 1 of the shorthanded.
Okay, just 1. He's had 2 goals total though.
Yeah, 2 goals total. One of them was right out. It was basically, you know, in the, as Brandon Perry came out of the box, he hit the post.
That's what I was thinking of maybe.
So
yeah,
it was, but he scored shorthanded. Braden McNabb had the other shorthanded goal and Riley Smith had the one on Wednesday. So yeah, it's if you're a Vegas fan, you're pretty happy with just taking down the Sharks twice in a pretty convincing fashion.
Yeah, Noshik and Smith, the 2 with 2 goals, but I mean nothing really like you said, convincing. There was nothing to really sweat. Marc-Andre Fleury looked fantastic, which I think we all probably expected at the beginning of the year. But you know, I think you always look even worse when a a goalie is on that good a form, and I was impressed with him at the game I was at on Wednesday, I guess, and then Friday he looked maybe even stronger.
Yeah, he looked good, and credit the Vegas defense and the forwards driving play is that Fleury didn't have to make a lot of really good saves, and the ones that he did, he made. He only allowed 2 goals. And if you're gonna rock a .965 save percentage through the first 2 games, you'll take that. And if you're gonna allow 2 goals in 2 games, you probably should be 2-0. So everything clicking for the Golden Knights. It's all 3 phases working for them.
Yeah, I think I guess the 2 other big storylines we haven't touched on as part of this. I guess we'll start positive. Cody Glass, mm-hmm. Who was dying to make the team. We talked about a lot throughout the preseason, I think on multiple ones of our player podcasts. I just loved how, I just thought his quotes were a level above how hell-bent he was making the team. He said it was really going to suck and how bad he wanted to make it. And it seems like he's making the most of his opportunity so far. He scores in his first NHL game.
Very cool moment, yeah.
And is solid again on Friday in San Jose.
He looked really good on Friday, and he maybe should have had a couple of assists on Friday. The joke in the press box was, man, if we could get this kid some good wingers. But he was playing with Mark Stone and Max Pacioretty, and everything's looking right for him. That is quite good. It'll be real interesting to see. I'm sure we'll probably touch on it a little bit later, what's going to happen when Cody Eakin gets back into the lineup. But Cody Glass has definitely showed he belongs in the NHL. His early returns are good for him.
Yeah, who gets to make an NHL debut with alongside Pacioretty and Stone? That's kind of living a charmed life, but I mean, he's lived up to it. That's taking nothing away from him.
There's something to be said about putting a rookie in a position to succeed, and man, oh man, they did just that. If you want him to do that, and Pacioretty and Stone helped him out, and it wasn't just him hanging with the 2 good wingers either. He was driving play. He was throwing the puck all over. He looked like he belonged.
Yeah, absolutely. So Cody Glass, neither of us picked him in the Shining Knight competition, but maybe we should have. He has been a Shining Knight through the first week. And then to get to that other headline that I mentioned that we have to talk about, Nate Schmidt going down. And I know we don't have much information of how bad the injury is. It looked really bad being there. But you can't really expect the Golden Knights to give out too much information. They never do, and it looks like they're not going to again in this case. So I don't know what can we say about Nate Schmidt except you're not going to be seeing him at least for a few weeks, I would say.
Yeah, it's going to be a little while before we see him. He looked like he was hurt pretty bad in that game against San Jose. It allowed Nick Hague to make his NHL debut on Friday. But yeah, that's a key piece of the blue line that they're losing. And just like last year, they lost him for 20 games to start the year. They got him for however long it was. I don't think he made it out of the first period. I want to say that that's when the injury was. So they've had him for less than a period of hockey this year, and they're going to miss him. Already missed him Friday, going to miss him tomorrow, going to miss him all this week almost for sure, and probably beyond that. So, yeah, that's a tough loss. That's a real tough loss for the Golden Knights.
Yeah, I think I don't know. Maybe I'm too far. I love Nate Schmidt. He would be very high on the irreplaceable players for me. But I just think, especially if he's not out for the full year, which right now we're just reading between the lines, but it certainly seems like there's a good opportunity he can be back before the playoffs and maybe down for that stretch run. I just think this team is in such a better spot than they were at this time last year without him. I really think, and as weak as the Pacific is, I think they're going to be able to persevere without him.
Yeah, I think that I think everything you said was right on the nose. They're going to give up some more goals without Schmidt on the ice, but they have enough talent to overcome it. Like you said, the playoffs would be probably worse to lose. If you're going to lose Schmidt for a couple of weeks or a month, you'd rather do it now than in the playoffs. They started very slow last year and were still able to get into the playoffs pretty comfortably. This year, they started hot without Schmidt, so if they could just get him back healthy for whenever that may be, as long as it's before the playoffs, they'll be all right.
And maybe we'll get to see some of these rookie defensemen a little bit more Nate Schmidt. Nick Hague, we should mention his NHL debut. Talk about being spoiled playing next to Stone and Pacioretty. Well, how about being spoiled and being tossed out of your NHL debut? Nick Hague on Friday night in that dust-up was one of the players ejected, I believe.
Yep, he had. Technically, I suppose if you want to get into it, it was a 10-minute misconduct with like 7 minutes left in the game. So not an official ejection, but essentially it was. Yeah. So getting tossed out of his first NHL game, he chuckled at that after the game, and Yeah, you're right. He was in that dust up. He looked okay. Possession numbers weren't great playing with England, but kind of splitting hairs on a night where everything else was working for the Golden Knights.
Who's the next rookie we'll see? Schult, I assume, at some point?
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure we'll see Schult at some point. He's on the team right now. He's made his NHL debut, obviously. He did that last year, but still has that rookie eligibility and title. So, well, I'm sure we'll see him at some point in the coming days.
All right, yeah, well, that's something to watch, because definitely I think, didn't run into many problems this week, but it is... The whole defense is a little bit of a work in progress now, or trying to see what exactly they're going to do without Nate Schmidt. So maybe there's a little more to watch there than we would have said a week ago with that spot.
I agree with that. I think what's going to happen is you have Theodore moving up to that top pairing with Braden McNabb. I think that's going to be a good pairing. Where we're going to see the Schmidt loss, I think, is against other teams that have really good second and third lines. Because if we've got, you can match McNabb and Theodore with other teams' top lines. We'll probably see that Tuesday night against that Bergeron, Pastrnak,
Marchand.
Thank you. Line for Boston.
Such a hockey guy now. I can just.
Yeah, I don't know why that one wouldn't come into mind. But I think we're going to see it when, you know, John Merrill and Nick Holden are out defending other teams' second and third lines. So that might be where we miss Schmidt more, in a spot where maybe Theodore would be. So we'll see over the coming weeks. A couple of good teams coming up. Boston, Calgary, good offensive teams that have deep lines. So we'll see if they are able to keep the puck out of the net.
Absolutely. Well, we'll get to those games for sure. But why don't we first escape the fortress, as we already kind of did talking about Calgary and Boston. But it's been a really exciting first few days of the NHL season, as it always is. It's just, you know, we spent so much time trying to guess or talk about, or in my case, bet what these teams are going to do for the year. It's nice to just sit back and get to see what they look like. Everyone's played, two or three games, or I guess Chicago and Philadelphia only played one because they played in Prague. Yeah. But we thought it'd be fun today to just overreact a little bit to what we've seen in the first five or six days. So we're not going to give the typical don't worry about the first 2 days. It's a long season. We're just going to jump in just based on all that we've seen. Throw out the priors. Justin, what's your biggest overreaction to the first 2 or 3 days?
That the San Jose Sharks are going to miss the playoffs.
a week after giving your best bet, I think, was over 94.5 points making the playoffs.
They win the Pacific and go over 94.5, but man, they looked terrible. I don't know if we're expanding on these or this is just a rapid fire overreaction.
It's whatever you want. It's your show. I'm just along for the ride.
All right, so I'll also take Dallas, also 0-3-0, minus 3 goal differential. They're going to miss the playoffs too. So the team that I had winning the Pacific, San Jose, going to miss the playoffs. The team that I had facing the Golden Knights in the Western Conference Final, the Dallas Stars, also missing the playoffs.
I hate Dallas.
those are my overreactions. Like we said, I don't think I actually believe that. But if we're gonna play this game, we'll do it.
Yeah, on the betting side, since this seems to be a come up time and time again on this, I had a really good Saturday. Finally, I was down a little bit on the NHL until Saturday. I went 4-1, had a real nice day. There's only one game I loved Sunday. I thought there was an edge on Dallas. I thought they were going to destroy Detroit, who got a total fluke win against Nashville. I bet too much on it, and they blew a 2-0 lead. Ended up losing to the crappy Red Wings. So I had a losing first week in the NHL. So I'm all about the Stars shade. Throw the Stars out of the Central playoff picture. But I'll be more positive for my overreaction. A team we disagreed on a little bit. I think your problem was they were a little too trendy. I'm saying the Hurricanes are winning the Stanley Cup. Already beaten the Lightning, their Eastern Conference biggest foe. Already beaten the Capitals, their Metro Division biggest foe. And I'm blanking on who they played opening night. Maybe they played the Capitals.
Montreal.
Also beat Montreal in a really good game. Montreal looks pretty good, too. They came back from the 4-1 deficit to the Maple Leafs. So everyone's looking up to the Hurricanes right now, as far as I'm concerned.
They've done that every game. They've needed to come back to win in overtime.
You know, they're so good that they're letting they let everyone get a little bit of a head start.
Okay.
Former Golden Knight, Eric Halla, scored in every game, I believe. 3 goals. I don't know. I haven't looked at the... He might be leading the league in goals right now, I would assume. Not many people have
3 goals.
Yeah, so there you go.
A couple guys have 5 already.
Oh, yeah. Got another... Matthews has 5.
Anthony Mantha had 4 goals for Detroit against your Dallas Stars on Saturday.
Yeah, there you go. Well, He's scored in every game, so shout out to Eric Halla.
Good for
Halla. Yeah. You gave two overreactions, so man, I better come up with another quick one. I love the Stars one because I'm.
I think mine were kind of one and the same. But
that's true. The Stars and the Sharks, both.
I'll give one. How about we just mentioned Austin Matthews? He'll lead the league in goals this year.
I like that one. I think that might be the least hot take of them all. Yeah, I think that's got a real chance.
He's got five already. No assists. Clearly a selfish player, but. Yeah, five goals already, and if that power play is humming for Toronto early, if he's got a real shot at the Rocket Richard this year.
All right, well, here's one, I guess my final one that I didn't plan, but just thinking, it's kind of correlated to your Sharks one. How about we were all wrong, and it's not just the Golden Knights, the Flames, and the Sharks and the Pacifics, but it's actually the Ducks are going to be in there. This is kind of an exciting team.
Somebody say last week that the Ducks were going to be better.
They said they would be better. There's some excitement with new coach Dallas Eakins. They've got like a really interesting blend of like kind of the old guard veterans and then these really young guys. I don't know. They're kind of a fun team in the Pacific.
Yeah, they have played Arizona and San Jose to start the year.
These are overreactions for a reason.
Yeah, they've allowed two goals though, and they started hot last year. But yeah, I like it. We're gonna the overreactions, and clearly the Golden Knights are the Golden Knights and the Hurricanes are. They're each gonna go 82-0. Well, I guess they'd have to meet each other at some point in the regular season, but there's your Stanley Cup right there. Golden Knights and Hurricanes, the two best teams in hockey.
Anaheim coming here October 27th for the first meeting. That's one to watch. I think we both agree. I mean, we love John Gibson.
I do.
One of the best goalies in the league, if not the best. And I feel like they just asked too much out of him last year. Maybe if they get off to a good start and, you know, can give him a little bit more breathing room. I do kind of like the Ducks. I know it's just two games, but
yeah, the Ducks broke John Gibson pretty good last year. They started off good. Their goal differential was bad, and we all kind of knew that they were going to crash back to earth. But Gibson had them hold on just a little bit longer than I think we all expected. So yeah, that was our
fun little time. Yeah. All right. Well, let's get back to the Golden Knights. Something we never overreact on. We're always just very level headed and know exactly what's going to happen.
Of course.
The week ahead, and we have a busy one. We said they started slow last week, of course, but four games before the next time we'll be able to talk to you, hopefully next Monday. Tuesday, hosting Boston for the second game at T-Mobile Arena, then heading to Arizona Thursday, back home for Calgary Saturday, and a back-to-back Sunday at Los Angeles. What stands out to you about this week in action?
Well, it's obviously that Boston game. I think... it's interesting because we expected San Jose to be a really good team, and they probably still will be by the time the season's over. But, I mean, they worked San Jose pretty good for two games. So it's interesting to kind of – we're going to see now if the Golden Knights – and I don't want to put too much stock into we'll see what they're made of kind of thing. But maybe they just matched up well with the Sharks. The Sharks started slow. We'll kind of see. Boston played really well in their two games. Blanked Arizona on Saturday. So it'll be cool to see what the Golden Knights can do against another top team that isn't the Sharks. And I think that as fun as the rivalry games are, I think we're all okay with taking a break from Vegas-San Jose storylines.
Absolutely. I mean, we've just seen this, Matt. It's like the only team we've seen them on the ice against. So it'll be nice to have Boston come in here. They did beat Boston early in the inaugural season where Malcolm Subban infamously was still wearing his Boston pads. But I guess it's been the curse of the Boston pads since then because Boston has won all three games. Not that that's any big surprise. I mean, the Bruins made the Stanley Cup final last year.
Shootout,
yeah, 3-2.
In Vegas, right? Yeah.
Okay, yep.
And then they beat them in Boston, I believe.
4-1 in Boston.
Malcolm Subban.
Subban, I don't think you're going to be seeing Tuesday, but he has half the franchise starts against Boston. You know, no surprise that this would be a team you're 3-1 against. They've been one of the best teams in the NHL, like I said, and they're looking pretty strong again this year, starting 2-0. They're going to arrive in Vegas healthy and ready to go.
Yep, they got in the Saturday night after the game, so this could be Saturday night after their game in Arizona, so it could be a potential Vegas flu game, maybe?
I'm so happy you said it, so I didn't have to.
Two nights in Vegas, who knows? But, yeah, Boston's really good. They went to the Stanley Cup final last year, one game away from winning it. Arizona, really good goaltending, good defense, they're gonna struggle all season long to put the puck in the net. I think Calgary on Saturday is the opposite of that. I think that they're going to be a lot of fun this year from just an outsider's perspective to watch, because I don't like their goaltending at all, and I think that their offense is fantastic. So I think Calgary is going to play a lot of high-scoring games. And then the back-to-back in Los Angeles, we'll see. LA's played one game. Vegas has played two, so it's not like we can draw too many conclusions. LA was very bad last year, expected to be very bad this year, but we'll get our first look at them on Sunday.
Absolutely. So that is a look at those four games. I guess jumping into what we think is going to happen, I have a sneaking suspicion that Tuesday sets up well for the Bruins. You mentioned they've already been here a few days. I think a lot of times you worry about a team coming east to west early in the season and not being fully acclimated, but they've already played at Arizona.
And Dallas was their first game.
Yeah, and so. Dallas was their first game coming here. By most metrics you look at, I mean, that top line has been the best in hockey the last few years. We mentioned the Golden Knights are kind of trying to rejigger some things defensively. I kind of like this spot for Boston a little bit.
I do too. I actually agree with you on that. I know I had mentioned the Vegas flu thing, but you're right. Boston's spent some time in the western part of the country. That top line's going to be good. This is a team that I had mentioned, like, this is one to watch out for that has good lines kind of down the line to see that can match up against the Nate Schmidt-less D-core. So I think I like Boston in this one. Heading to Arizona, Golden Knights. I think the Golden Knights will go 3-1 this week in those four games. I think they drop Boston, but I think they are scorching hot right now. They get the Flames at home. They don't lose at home very often, and then LA could be very bad. So I'm going 3-1 this week.
Yeah, that's tough. I was going to say 2-2 for sure, but I hadn't decided how I was going to get them to 2-2 other than the Bruins loss. And now the way you pointed it out, it's tough to beat them at home. And am I really going to pick them to lose two of their first three at home?
I do think that they lost. I want to say that they didn't do too hot against the Kings last year.
They had one really bad performance in LA, I remember.
Against the Kings, so.
And that is a 3-4 game. The Kings are also playing on a back-to-back that night. But the Golden Knights figure to be a little bit less rested. I don't know, though. I'm gonna just go with my first reaction. I say they win in Arizona. Last week on the podcast, I said a lot of nice things about the Coyotes. I think I picked them to make the playoffs, and I guess I should have thrown this into the overreactions, but I already think that is just ridiculous. I hadn't actually gotten to study. The Pacific was the last division I really wanted to look at before the season. I just felt like I knew it a little bit better, but clearly I didn't. I looked at Arizona, and they just looked like, I remember last year's run so well, but it seems like there was a lot of questionable parts of that.
They just don't. It was goaltending. And yeah. It was Darcy Kemper played phenomenal. Antti Raanta could be back for the Coyotes. They might have the best goaltending duo in the entire league if we're looking at, you know, the splits. But, man, they just can't score. They have that Kessel, Keller, and Stepan have been playing together, and they connected for their one goal against Anaheim, and they had a couple of good scoring chances against Boston on Saturday. But other than that, they just don't have a whole lot of NHL caliber scoring, and they're gonna struggle to get the puck in the net all season. So
yeah, so we're both going Vegas in that game. I'm picking them to beat Arizona. I don't know how I didn't ask about this earlier, but I know you didn't only take in a pair of Vegas games, but you also were at the Arizona Coyotes opener. We got to hear about this.
Yeah, so I flew up to the San Jose game on Friday, and it was when I booked the flight, my wife was going to Phoenix for a concert on Saturday, so I took the return flight to Phoenix just to meet up with her and hang out with some family while she was at the concert. And then my brother was like, "Hey, well, how about we go to the Coyotes game?" And I'm like, "Why not? We got some tickets in the all-you-can-eat food section."
Oh, that's the best for hockey games.
Yeah, the hot dogs and the popcorn and the nachos and the drinks. And we just hung out and watched the game. And, I'm from Phoenix originally. A lot of my family was there. So got it and then drove back with the wife on Sunday. So, yeah, I I did see the
good game experience. Have a good time. You probably haven't watched as a fan in a while.
A game. No, it's in more than a year, I think. So it was cool to go kind of get back in the stands and hear the thing. I was sitting right in front of the shoot it guy. Everybody loves that guy at a hockey game. Anytime they enter the zone, shoot. So thank God for that. Wouldn't have wanted to miss that. But yeah. So, and then the Coyotes, I think, are on the road tomorrow. So I'll actually have been at, because I'm going down for the Golden Knights game on Thursday, I think I will have been at both of the Coyotes' first two home games. So kind of a weird quirk there.
There you go. So just you don't only go to @J15Emerson on Twitter for Golden Knights insight, but you can also expect some Coyotes coverage
from Section 210 at the random Coyotes game I happen to be at on Saturday.
The all-you-can-eat section, good stuff in Arizona. So we both think the Golden Knights will be able to go down there and win. That brings us to Calgary. And against my better judgment, I think I'm going to pick them to lose this one. I'm not even that high on Calgary. I think this has like a 6-5 game written all over it.
I'm out of town for a wedding this weekend. I won't be at the Calgary game, so I think Brewer's covering.
Yeah, make sure you follow Ray Brewer. I'm gone too. So Brewer will be at that one. I think both the Golden Knights' first two games have gone under. I'm sure this will be a high total, but I think this should be an over. I think both these teams have such explosive offensive threats. I think there'll be some goals in this game. I'm going to go Calgary.
I think so too. Everything you just said, I just think the Golden Knights will win at home.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe it would have been smarter for me to pick them to lose at LA and win against Calgary, but I just think not much of the Kings this year, so I'm going to pick them to get it together Sunday and beat the Kings to go 2-2. You had them going 3-1, so that would be all three games.
There we go. I'll go 3-1. Okay. I said in my season predictions thing that they would have a 6-game winning streak at one point in the season this year, and I even said in that story that Arizona, Calgary, LA, Nashville, Ottawa, Pittsburgh stretch could do it, so I'm sticking with my guns. Arizona, Calgary, LA, 3 wins in a row to start a streak of 6 in a row.
Oh, that's very nice. And looking a little far ahead now, but the Penguins lost Malkin, right?
Yeah.
I think he's gone. So,
they could be in trouble.
Yeah, they could be in trouble. I mean, if they get by Boston on Tuesday, you might have a chance to knock out that 6-game streak right away. They're going to be favored in the rest of the games.
They could absolutely. I mean, they might be favored for probably every home game this year.
Yeah, you would think.
They're going to be favored, I think, in a lot of road games this year, too. Golden Knights might be favored in like 65 of their games this season.
Yeah, so that'll be something fun to watch, but that's the week ahead. To sign off, we'll do our segment we always do, the Shining Knight competition. I think I once again am in an early hole.
Yeah, I had Mark Stone. 1-0. 4 points. You had Shea Theodore.
I really misplayed this. When you pick Mark Stone, I just need to pick like John Merrill, or I need to pick like I need to pick someone that I'm basically just throwing away hoping to catch fire. I wasted Shea Theodore, who now I think is even more valuable going forward, and I can't use him for the rest of the first half of the season.
Yeah, that's tough. That's a tough look for you.
But I do get the first pick this week.
Yep. What do you want?
God, maybe I should plan ahead for this. I'm going to go with I'm just going to keep beating a dead horse, so to speak, although this guy's not a dead horse at all. But I've picked William Karlsson to score the first goal in both the first two games. He hasn't done so. He does have 3 assists. I don't think he's I think he's looked fine. He hasn't
He looked really good. He was going to be my pick.
Oh, okay, great.
Especially on opening night, there were a couple that he was right on the doorstep. Jones made some really good saves. Dude could just as easily have 3 goals right now. So that's a good choice.
I'm going Karlsson then, and I let Justin explain why for me. I love when I can not only get who I want, but poach your prospective pick.
Angry enforcer William Karlsson after his misconduct.
Oh, yeah. On Friday. Tossed with hay.
All right, so now a little bit of game theory here. Like, you're going William Karlsson. Do I go with another one of the top guys, or do I take kind of a down-ballot guy and take my chances with him? Because, like, I also like Jonathan Marchessault this week, but I don't know if I want to use my Marchessault pick right now going against Karlsson. So I am actually going to go, I'm going to go Cody Glass. We're going to take a chance on Glass here, and if you're going to go with Karlsson, I gotta take somebody who maybe might be off the radar that I need to have a really big week.
Yeah, so I especially like that because I'm sure I'm with a lot of Golden Knights fans on this, but I absolutely hope this doesn't happen. But if Cody Glass gets sent back down, the opportunities to take him are like kind of fleeting, right? So you might as well do it now. You know you're getting at least a couple games, right? He's probably not going down this week.
We'll see when Eakin comes back. Eakin skated on his own. He should be close to returning to the team, so yeah, I'm going to take Glass now. I mean, I'd be surprised if they did send him down. They don't need to send anybody down. There's only 22 on the roster right now. So when they activate Eakin off of IR, whenever that is, if it's this week or next week or later, they don't need to make a roster move. So, I think Glass has played really well. He's same thing, could have a couple more assists than he does. A couple of good saves have kept some of his passes out of the net. So Glass versus Karlsson in week 2.
All right, yep, Karlsson leading the team in penalty minutes with 12 after that misconduct.
In his entire season in that inaugural year where he won the Lady Bing, I think he had 14 penalty minutes, and he already has 12.
Oh, so, you give a guy that contract and look what happens. Yeah, that was sarcasm.
Oh, no, he had his entire career coming into the year. He had 46 penalty minutes his entire career. He had 12 the entire year that he won the Lady Bing, and now he already has 12 this year. So he's almost certainly going to set a career high in penalty minutes this year. William Carlson, the goon.
Yeah, frisky William Carlson. Who knew? We'll see how that turns out, though. Carlson versus Glass, 4 games this week. We'll be back Monday to talk about how they played out, to look ahead to the next game. From Credit One Bank, Vegas Born Card, thanks for listening to Vegas Golden Podcast.